Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament.
The first reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 4. For the fourth Sunday, is that what I said? As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas, and John and Alexander, all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 3. "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." This is the word of the Lord. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. He is risen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. How do you know that someone loves you? How do you know that someone cares for you? How do you know that someone is going to put you before themselves? As surprising as it might be for us, the fact that they told us they would is probably not a very big part of the answer. Now, make no mistake, if someone isn't telling you that they love you, that may be a good indication that they don't. But when it comes down to it, when we are looking for love, there is so much more to it than just the words we use. Loving someone is about being in their lives, about touching them, about speaking to them, about spending time to them, and yes, even about giving them things. And that can make it difficult to feel truly loved by Jesus, because he's not here physically. He doesn't speak to you like everyone else does. And while we recognize that he's with us at all times, we very rarely feel that. And while he gives the best gifts, they almost always come through someone else. And all of that can lead people to wonder whether Jesus is really the good shepherd or if he's more like the absent shepherd. Listen as John speaks to us about the abiding love of our Lord. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, This is the truth of how we know that God loves us, because he died on the cross for us, and because he rose for us in order to bring us into the resurrection with him. We know that he loves us because he gave us his very body and his blood to eat and to drink. We know that he loves us because through that very same sacrament and through baptism and through his word that he comes to live inside of us and to truly abide in us. And those are just the primary gifts that he gives us. That's not even talking about things like the talents, the people who are in our lives, our family, our friends. Doesn't talk about the jobs that he gives us, about the rain that finally came. Jesus gives us so many things that we could not possibly list it all. And this is how we know that love that he has for us. But it can still be hard because notice I mentioned nothing about feeling that love. Make no mistake, we want that feeling. We want to be able to feel loved by him. But that frequently doesn't happen the way we'd like it to. And what that can lead to sometimes is that it can lead to us forgetting what's supposed to come next. John here says that by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Just think about it for a second. If we truly love God, and we're walking along and we see someone who also truly loves God, and do notice that when John speaks here about for the lives of the brothers, he is talking explicitly about our brothers and sisters in Christ. Which doesn't necessarily mean that we aren't talking about those who are unbelievers, but does mean that particularly here, if you see a brother in Christ who doesn't have food, and you do have food, how can you call yourself a lover of Christ if you do not feed that man? That's the question John is asking us today. Is that possible? And the answer is really no, it's not. We who have been gifted ought to share those gifts when we see others in need. This is what John's getting at when he says that we need to not love in word or in talk. I mean, to put it simply, like I mentioned earlier, just because someone says, I love you, does not necessarily mean that they actually love you. Or to put it another way, talk is cheap. People can say whatever they want to say. It's the following through on your speech that shows your true love. It's loving indeed. Doing something for them, being with them as they're struggling, sitting with the homeless person who smells really bad, and being okay with that to show them that you care about them, and more importantly, to show them that Jesus cares about them. And this will be impossible to do unless you recognize the truth that God loved you so much that that's what he did for you. This is where our works come from. Listen as John expounds on this as he continues. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. By this we know the truth. As I mentioned in Bible study earlier, this is where our Roman Catholic friends get a little bit mixed up. Because they believe that it is by the deeds that you earn the love of God. But what we recognize as the truth from Scripture is that it is by the love of God that we do the deeds. It is that if you look at your life and you're wondering, does God really love me? And maybe what you're actually wondering is, do I really love God? Look at your life. Do you love those around you? Do you trust in his name? That's the question that John tells us to ask in order to answer that question. Because if you do love those around you, if you do trust in his name, that means that faith is there. Because it is only by faith that we will love those around us. It is only after God has created that faith inside of us that we can truly trust in the name of the Lord. This is part of what John means when he says that God is greater than our heart. You may remember in another part of Scripture where Jesus said that it is from the heart that comes all evil. We like to think that our hearts are good and right and just, and that everyone is good on the inside if they would just follow their heart. But sadly, that is not the truth. The truth is that before we were saved, our hearts were black and evil, and the source of our sin. But God is greater than our heart. God came in and he gave us a new heart. He recreated us, gave us a heart that now beats with his love. And because we know that truth, we can approach our God with confidence. We can come to him and ask him for things and know that he's going to answer yes. Not as if it's some sort of automatic yes, anything you ask him for will automatically be given the answer yes to. But because if you have a right heart, if you are truly believing in God, if you are truly loving those around you, then when you go to ask God for something, he's probably already doing it. Because it's the right thing to ask him for. This all comes down to, is God abiding in your life? And we want that answer to be yes. But how do we know? How do we know that he's there? And John gives us the answer here. He tells us that if God is abiding in you, you will keep his commandments and you will trust in his name. But he also leaves off with a little extra thing there. He says, and by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. How do you know that God loves you? How do you know that God actually lives inside of you? Part of the answer to that question involves looking at your life. Do you keep his commandments? Is your life conforming to the rules that God has laid out for it? If that's happening in your life,
If you see that you are indeed trying to follow God's laws, then take heart. Because it would be impossible for that to happen if God wasn't abiding in you and creating those deeds in you. Even more than that, though, we know that God abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. That is, the very God who is inside of us lets us know this truth. And while he sometimes communicates that love to us through our heart, that is, through our feelings and our emotions, we also recognize that our feelings and emotions can get distracted. So then, how does the Spirit communicate to us the truth that he is abiding in us in a way that we can be certain of? How does he let us know this truth? Well, he tells us. He tells us when you hear the word of God, which is always speaking of Jesus in some way, shape, or form, and when you believe it. Again, that belief is impossible unless the Spirit is inside of you, working that faith and speaking it into being. Anyone else who tells you that they love you, you kind of have to question. But our God speaks and creates things. This is how he created the entire universe. When our God says something, that something comes into being. That something actually happens. And so, when God said that he loves you, you can rest for certain on that truth that he has spoken into your hearts. But our God is good and great. And so, it's not only that he gives us, but the Spirit also comes to us in our baptisms. In fact, it is in our baptism that the Spirit really starts getting work done. It's where he has promised to be, and where you can therefore rely on him being. Which means for us that we now have a point in our lives where we can point to and unequivocally state, that is where the Spirit entered my life. Which doesn't necessarily mean that he wasn't there before, but absolutely means that you can be certain he was there in that water, in the Word. But to be frank about it, for a great many of us, our baptism was quite a long time ago. And so God knew that we needed something more recent, something that would remind us of our baptism, while at the same time giving even more gifts to us. And so he gave us the Lord's Supper. He gave us a regular time in our lives that we could come and receive him into ourselves. A time when he has promised that he will nourish and strengthen our faith to withstand the storms of this life. A time where he has promised yet again that the Spirit will be active and moving in our lives and in ourselves, to receive the gift that he is offering to us. We often overcomplicate this issue. Our sinful nature likes to try and throw all sorts of obstacles between us and the Spirit, but it is really very, very simple. If you want to know whether the Spirit abides in you, simply ask the question. Do I believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ? Do I love my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Now, your knee-jerk reaction to that might very well be, no, I do not. That's because you're good Lutherans, and you know that we can't ever do this perfectly. But John knew that too. And so does Jesus, and so does the Spirit. Make no mistake, God does ask and even command that you be perfect. But also make no mistake, God knew of our weakness. And you are free to remember how John started off this section. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. Don't forget this truth. Don't allow the cross to ever leave your minds and your hearts. For it is from that horrid tree that our forgiveness flows. And it is from that glorious tree that the love that flows through us to all of those around us wells up. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.